With 90.3 KEDM, I'm Bob Lennox. The Land and Water Conservation Fund is marking its 50-year anniversary. The landmark law, established in 1964, seeks projects to conserve natural areas as well as cultural and historical landmarks. Doug Daigle is with the Louisiana Hypoxia Working Group and joins me by phone. Doug, good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Well, give us some background on how this fund is put together.
Well, this is one of America's landmark conservation laws, but it's also a law that a lot of folks have never heard of. It was passed 50 years ago, 1964, enacted 1965, and it has been the key legislative vehicle in at the federal level to bring about conservation of land and water for parks, recreation, refuges, all the things that we all enjoy in outdoor recreation.
The current status of the fund, does it continue to grow, or what are some of the obstacles that it faces?
Well, it was set up in an innovative way, especially at that time, to where it wasn't funded with tax dollars, so it was funded through revenues from offshore oil production, which at that point was really in its infancy. It had a spending cap that was put in, which would be up to $900 million a year, but has maybe once or twice only gotten that much. Generally, unfortunately, what happens is that it still has to go through the annual appropriations process in Congress, and the Congress generally diverts the funds into some other purpose. So it has funded a huge amount of conservation over the years, but as time has gone on, they've gotten used to putting the money into other projects. So the law needs to be reauthorized, but it also needs to have the appropriate funds put where they're supposed to be, which is in conservation.
Give us an idea about some of the projects, some things here in Northeast Louisiana.
Well, there's a federal component, which is one that a lot of folks are familiar with who know about the law, and that has funded a lot of areas like National Wildlife Refuges. Black Bayou National Wildlife Refuge is a premier example. But all the refuges in Louisiana have benefited from the fund. The Kasachi National Forest has benefited, and our two national parks, Jean Lafitte and Cane River Creel. But there's also a state component where states submit grants, work with local communities, and that has funded state parks and local parks in Louisiana and recreational areas. And at the local level, all the parks in Monroe, I think, since the law was passed, have either been created or enhanced through the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
What is the message to area residents as well as conservation groups about the future of the fund?
Well, the law is there. It has an allocation that it's supposed to get. We just need Congress to make sure those funds get to it so that we can continue to benefit and our conservation needs are growing. The needs that the parks and refuges and areas like that serve today is not just for recreation, which has a huge economic benefit, but it also helps us protect our infrastructure with flood control and drainage, because those areas take pressure off of the infrastructure. Another project near you all that's benefited from the fund is the Mollisey Farms project, which is reconnecting a floodplain in the Ouachita National Forest north of Monroe. But that helped save Monroe from flooding several years ago, because the water that went into that reconnected bottomland hardwood was just enough to keep it from breaching the levee in the city. So we have a real economic benefit from those flood control structures, in addition to all the recreation dollars that we get.
Doug Daigle is with the Louisiana Hypoxia Working Group. Doug, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio.